And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Hyo-san joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Hyo-san.
Hi, Lena. Good morning.
Did you have a restful weekend?
Yes, I took it very easy and very relaxing. I hope you had a great weekend as well.
I did. Thanks for asking and welcome back. It was a pleasure to have you as always. Let's get started. We do have some updates concerning, well, the ongoing medical strike. Of course, the government is inclined to put a little bit more pressure to start finalizing the enrollment quota expansion. Let's begin there. This is our first keyword of the day.
Striking doctors.
So there was the verdict last week of South Korean court rejecting a request brought by the country's doctors to suspend the government's plan to increase the number of medical school seats. Now, the next step, as you can imagine, is to urge the thousands of striking junior doctors to return to work. Now, as for the suspension of their medical licenses, the government has most recently said that everything depends on the changes of their behavior. I don't think anybody wins if we start suspending lacking doctors in the first place. So can you tell us more about the latest situation?
Yes, that's exactly what a senior officer of the Korean presidential office said when he met with journalists on Sunday. It was Chang Sang-yoon, the senior secretary for social affairs, who elaborated further that the government is going through final reviews on when and how to decide the possible suspension of their licenses, especially as it has been 3 months since their walkout. And he once again highlighted that the latest court decision provides justification and legality of the government's plan to recruit 2,000 more medical students in an yearly basis. And he then explained that the government is finalizing the procedures for the college admissions for the upcoming academic year together with the education circles. The Korean Council for University Education is set to decide as early as this week the final number of the medical school quota. It's expected to increase the quota by around 1,500 or so for next year. And given this, the presidential office asked universities to finalize the revision of their respective school regulations to accommodate this increase. And meanwhile, there was also a direct message to the medical circles. Tang urged them to come back to the negotiating table with the government to discuss practical measures to reform the country's medical system. He also stressed how it is high time that the junior and the trainee doctors to decide to return to their works and schools, adding that their individual behaviors shall not cause damage to the medical community as a whole. However, of course, on the other hand, criticism from the medical community still continues, who's saying that the government has its ears shut, only simply urging these striking doctors to return without providing any specific measures. And the Korea Medical Association, meanwhile, also says it will convene a closed-door emergency meeting with its members on Wednesday to discuss the detailed follow-up measures. So despite the latest court decision, of course, it's still left to be seen how the whole government doctors dispute evolves going forward, Lena.
There seemed to be a very brief window where the patients' associations were a little bit more hopeful, thinking that that Seoul High Court decision might incline some of the doctors to return. That's highly unlikely. The stalemate continues, so we'll wait until Wednesday when KMA has a closed-door emergency meeting. Why do I have a feeling this might just be extended a little bit further? All right, let's move on to our second keyword this morning. Regulation banning select overseas purchases. We discussed a matter just last week with Hyo-san. It was prompted by safety concerns. Now, the government did a follow-up sort of, clarification. This is our second keyword of the day.
Inconsistent government policies.
That's never good. It's hard to keep up, isn't it? The South Korean government has decided to reverse its plan to ban direct purchases of some 80 items deemed hazardous from overseas e-commerce platforms. So get us updated.
Yes, Lena, remember last week we just discussed how the government said that some 80 items that are considered harmful to the public's health and safety, which include basically children's toys, their strollers, electrical products used at homes, and disinfectants, will be banned from being purchased via cross-border online e-commerce platforms known as Temu and AliExpress. Saying that these measures will be effective from July 1st, the government had previously previously added that this is to bolster regulations on consumers' direct purchase of goods from overseas online shopping malls. However, the Office for Government Policy Coordination said Sunday that the proposed measures did not mean a simultaneous and complete ban on all of such products. In a joint briefing of related ministries, Lee Jong-won, second deputy chief of the office, elaborated that these aforementioned products are subject to close examination for safety checks at this specific phase. He then added that legally it is impossible actually to ban direct purchases of the products from overseas platforms, adding that what it aims to do is to filter out the products considered to be harmful for the public. In addition, he also affirmed that detailed guidelines will be laid out to mitigate public inconvenience going forward. But such a sudden shift in stance comes amid widespread public criticism against the government's latest proposal. There were postings and video clips questioning which products will be banned, and there were also criticisms against the government's plan, which they described as, quote, indiscriminate regulations limiting consumer rights. These were flooding social media and YouTube directly after the government's latest proposal. And there were also criticisms from many parents who are constantly on the lookout for affordable baby products. As we know, it is very highly expensive to actually raise kids here in Korea. So there were also criticisms coming from their side as well. But it was not only the public who expressed concerns. There were also politicians who were raising their voices. The country's main opposition Democratic Party of Korea said in a commentary on Sunday that the government's response of removing the products from the entire market to the people's call for safe products is a significant misinterpretation of public demand. And also former ruling People Power Party interim leader Han Dong-hoon also said on his Facebook that the regulations should be reconsidered because it excessively limits consumers' rights to choose.
All right, so does it really infringe on consumers' rights to make their own decisions, especially if it's affordable baby goods? Where is the tug of war? Somewhere in the middle. We'll wait and see. But for now, not all of these items are completely banned, just ones without safety certifications. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
KF21 development costs.
So it does seem likely that Indonesia's earlier proposal of a cut in its share payments for a joint fighter jet development project to one-third of the originally agreed amount is set to receive a green light soon. Can you give us a rundown?
Yes, South Korea looks to be planning to accept Indonesia's request to cut its share of payments for the joint development of the KF-21 supersonic fighter jets during the meeting of the Defense a promotion committee set to take place in next month. The committee explained that the issue is to be reviewed and raised as an official agenda item during the meeting, and that the subcommittees are all preparing for the process in accordance. And it was originally planned to table the agenda during the meeting scheduled to be held on 29th of May, but it has been delayed for internal procedures, it says. And if Jakarta's proposal is accepted, this would mean that Seoul will need to allocate an additional budget of 1 trillion won out of the total KF-21 development cost of 8.8 trillion won, or approximately $6.5 billion. Indonesia proposed to Korea earlier to pay only one-third of the originally agreed-upon development costs. It has also expressed its stance to receive only a level of fighter jet technology transfer that corresponds to the cost of the joint development. It also said that it would pay a total of 600 billion won by 2026. While the initial share of Indonesia in the KF-21 development project cost was around 1.7 trillion won, but it has been later reduced to approximately 1.6 trillion won. And the Korean government sees that a continued deadlock over Jakarta's failed payments will in the end affect the overall development schedule, which in turn will delay the planned deployment of the new fighter jets. And also, according to Yonhap News Agency, a senior official of the Korean government said that the cost that needs to be covered will have to come from the Korean government and the Korea Aerospace Industries, which is the country's only military aircraft maker, approximately 70% from the former and 30% from the latter. Well, the KF-21 is a joint project between Korea and Indonesia to develop a next-generation supersonic fighter jets using Korea's homegrown technology for key components. And back in 2016, Jakarta agreed to shoulder some 20% of the multi-billion dollar project in return for the Southeast Asian country, receiving a prototype of the fighter jet and technical support for the local production of 48 units in Indonesia.
All right, bearing less of that cost, but nonetheless still getting some of the benefits of that joint project. Let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Nationwide defense drill.
So the Korean government announced plans to hold a nationwide civil defense drill once again this year in the month of August. I guess announcement should be made regularly leading up to the month because it's only May and we'll forget by August, won't we? Can you tell us more? What's in the plans?
Yes, I don't know if you remember well, but August last year, there was a nationwide drill held across Korea where its 51 million residents had to practice evacuating to shelters or underground safe spaces during the 20-minute exercise. And back then, it was the first time the country has held such drills in 6 years. And this year, again, the government says it plans to carry out the same drill. And it says it is part of a larger exercise by the South Korean government as it refines its response to the growing number of threats from outside, including, of course, its neighbor in the north, especially including the north's advanced nuclear missile threats, cyber attacks, drone terrors, and more. Dubbed the Uji exercise, this year's drill will take place for 4 days from the 19th to 22nd of August, focusing on bolstering a public institution's capacity to respond to emergency situations. The drill will be carried out assuming the country's main infrastructures have been damaged by these external threats, and also with close cooperation between the central and the municipal governments. And there will also be a cyber simulation that is to help the government be prepared for a possible cyber threat. Moreover, as for the residents of the country's so-called five West Sea Islands, the government plans to do a simulation of delivering rescue supplies to these residents in a timely manner.
And with that, we move on to our final keyword item this morning.
Iran helicopter crash.
So shifting our focus to world news, a helicopter carrying the Iranian president Ibrahim Raisi and other senior government officials suffered a, quote, hard landing, and search and rescue operations is underway. So the helicopter carrying the Iran's president has crashed. What do we know so far?
Yes, Lina, a helicopter carrying Iranian president, the country's foreign minister, as well as other officials apparently crashed in the country's mountainous northwest region on Sunday. And that's according to the Associated Press, which also added that a massive rescue operation is currently underway in the area. However, dense fog is hindering these operations. While we are still waiting for more local reports to come out, Iranian state TV says that the president was traveling back from the country's Azerbaijan province. It explained that the, quote, hard landing took place near Julfa, a city on the border with the nation of Azerbaijan, some 600 kilometers northwest of the Iranian capital, Tehran. But later, the state TV put it farther east near the village of Uzi, but details remained contradictory. So I think there is more time that we have to see. And Raisi had been on the border with Azerbaijan earlier Sunday to inaugurate a dam, which is the third one to be built between the two nations on the Aras River. And the Iranian local media first described it as a, quote, hard landing or an incident, but the wording later changed to crash following the confirmation from the country's interior ministry. And while the state media did not offer any information on Raisi's condition in the hours afterward, the country's hardliners urged the public just to pray for him. And it also explained that the rescue work is being hindered by poor weather conditions in the region, including heavy rain and heavy wind. A rescue helicopter tried to reach the area where authorities believe Ricey's helicopter was, but it couldn't land there due to heavy mist and fog. And hours later, Iranian government spokesman acknowledged that they are experiencing a big difficult and complicated situation in the search and rescue operations. So definitely, Lina, there is a lot more wait and see there.
All right. So search and rescue efforts are hindered by weather conditions. We'll wait and see. I just want to put one more line out there. The crash does come at a really delicate moment for international relations, just days after senior American and Iranian officials held talks through intermediaries to stop the wider conflict in the Middle East. Thank you so much, Hyosan, for today's coverage. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Thank you for having me. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.